This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. The Global Climate Action Summit was held earlier this month in San Francisco, and while it may seem counterintuitive for that conference to be in a major American city when America has pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords on orders of President Trump, the activists who were there see an opportunity for the U.S. to still be a leader in fighting the effects of climate change. And joining me now is Steve Nicholas, Vice President of the Institute for Sustainable Communities U.S. Program. He's also co-author of the book, The Guide to Greening Cities, and he attended the Global Climate Action Summit. Steve, thanks so much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.
In a general sense, what was the goal of this Global Climate Action Summit?
You know, number one, you know, frankly, is just to send a message to the Trump administration that their, you know, in my opinion, quite wrong-headed position on climate is really a global outlier. One of the many studies released at the summit was out of Yale University that shows that 3 out of 4 Americans now believe that we have a responsibility to act on climate. The second goal, and for me the most important one, is that the goal was really to push the envelope. So what you saw happen was kind of a mind-boggling, renewed and or accelerated commitment from city governments, from state governments, companies, from the investor community to generate and sustain hope. We've got these ever more dire warnings coming from the scientific community. And at the same time, you know, we've got this onslaught of climate impacts, whether that's the slew of wildfires up and down the West Coast this last summer, or Hurricane Florence in North Carolina, even here in Vermont with the announcement that the Morse Farm Ski Touring Center won't reopen again this winter. That obviously pales in comparison to what's happening in North Carolina and elsewhere, but it is a very significant impact for a small community and just another signal that we've got a crisis on our hands.
I want to dip a little deeper into that question about what local communities can do, because as you know, the Trump administration didn't just pull out of the Paris Climate Accords. The administration has also been rolling back environmental regulations on everything from coal-producing power plants to fuel efficiency standards for cars. I mean, how can local communities really do anything about these issues when the federal government is actively putting up roadblocks?
It's a very fair question. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that that what's happening in our federal government right now doesn't hurt. It hurts us environmentally, obviously. It hurts us economically. You know, this is one of the aspects of climate disruption that often gets, I think, underemphasized. One of the many studies released at the summit by the New Climate Economy, they suggest that there's $26 trillion in economic activity inherent in the transition toward a low, no-carbon economy, and 65 million jobs. Over 400 companies, it was announced at the Global Climate Action Summit, have now made commitments to 100% renewable energy over the course of the next 20 or 30 years. And we're talking about IKEA and Apple and Bank of America and Lego and Microsoft and Facebook and GM and Google. I mean, these are big, big, powerful companies. Why are they doing that? Because they see that it's in their economic benefit to do so, because they see that it's linked to their future profitability.
Do you think that voters in the upcoming midterm elections will have climate change on their minds at all when they go to the polls?
You know, I sure hope so. I mean, if not, what does it take, right? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, I'm so happy to have this interview because one thing that really struck me while I was at the summit is that at ISC, we see these stories unfold every day. I mean, that's our job, to lift them up and share them out so that people know about them. You just don't hear about them that often, though, in the media.
What about Vermont as a state? Is that seen as a state that's doing some things right for fighting climate change, or any examples you could possibly give?
Absolutely. You know, I have to say that it feels good to be a Vermonter going to a big global climate action summit, because we are, as a state, taking the issue very seriously. You look at the state's clean energy plan and the goal of 90% renewables by 2050. I mean, obviously, there are some bumps along the way there, but the goal is there. I think we're making progress toward it. I mean, one example that we're especially familiar with is the effort by the Vermont Energy Investment Corporation to look at how we can get to at least 20% solar in service to that broader goal of 90% renewables by 2050. And we worked with them to do some modeling and a lot of stakeholder engagement to figure out how to do that. And what they concluded is that we can indeed get there. I mean, it's going to take some work. And obviously, we've got some issues in the state around siting and what have you. But we've got a lot to be proud of here in Vermont.
Steve Nicholas is Vice President of the Institute for Sustainable Communities U.S. Program. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Mitch. It's been a real pleasure.